إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we are in our fourth session dealing with the book Ta'zim as-Salah. Ta'zim as-Salah. That is, yani, recognizing, acknowledging the greatness, the magnificence, the lofty position of this act of worship, a salah, that is being offered to Allah al-Azim. Allah al-Azim. Naam. Ta'zim al-Salah. Yani the act that is being offered to Allah, who is al-Azim. Naam. And our topic tonight is a very important topic. Mawqifan Azimaan. Mawqifan Azimaan. Very important topic that we hope, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, will be a reminder to myself first and to each of us of what we should be doing and what we are able to do in order to make, to put us in a better position in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and most importantly in the next life. Before we enter the topic for tonight, we'd like to review quickly what we discussed last week in lecture number 3 and the questions related to it as quickly as possible. The first question is, memorize the hadith of Salah being the Amud, the pillar of the deen, and explain it with an example. Naam. Anybody in the back? Anybody in the back remembers the hadith that we mentioned last week? Dealing with, if somebody can hold that in case somebody comes in late, somebody just be responsible for it. So we don't have to look for it in the end. You want to sign it? Let him sign it. Okay, nobody in the back? Okay, we'll take from the front then. Naam, there's somebody in the back. As-salatu amududdin. As-salatu amududdin. Naam. Huh? Naam, but in the wording, the meaning of the hadith was narrated by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah in his book dealing with salah. He narrated it by meaning in this word, in this way. As-salatu amududdin. As far as the actual wording that came in the hadith, I think we mentioned it last week, but yani, if anybody made note of that, the actual wording of the hadith. Naam. Somebody? Naam. Abdullah. Ahmed too? Naam. The hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal. Naam. Naam. Jayid. This is the actual wording as the hadith came, yani originally, and in the wording of the hadith of Mu'adh, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, shall I not inform you? Shall I not inform you about the matter of Allah's deen? What about the matter of Allah's deen? The ra's, what is the head of it, and what is the yani pillar of it, and what is the highest peak of it? And in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ra'suhu al-Islam. the head of the matter is al-Islam. Wa amuduhu as-salat. And its pillar is salat. And that's the wording that Imam Ahmed was narrating by meaning. As he mentioned it in the book, he said, as-salat amududdin. Yani amuduhu, amudul Islam, amudul amr. It is a salat. Yani the pillar of this affair, of this matter of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that holds it up, is the salat. And the example that Imam Ahmed rahimahullah mentioned concerning this, the example that to make clear what you mean by the amududdin and the importance of the salat, he gave an example. Naam. Naam, Ibrahim.
He gave the example of the fustat.
The fustat, naam.
Of the tent and the amud, the pillar of the tent. If it falls, the ropes and the pegs will not benefit. All the way.
Naam.
Meaning the lower parts.
And if it's standing?
And if it's standing, the pegs and the ropes will benefit.
Naam. And he said, this is the way salat is to Islam. Naam. وَكَذَلِكَ نَعَمْ. So the meaning, the example that Imam Ahmed rahimahullah gave is that, do you not know the example of a يعني فُسْطَات, يعني a big tent, يعني the pillar in the center that holds it up, if that pillar falls, the whole tent is going to fall and you will not benefit from the ropes that are tying it down, the pegs or stakes that are planted into the ground, none of that will benefit, the tent will fall down. But if the amud is standing, then, and only then, can you benefit from the other things, the ropes and pegs and everything else that will make it be of some benefit. And this is the same way that a salat is to Islam. If the salat falls, if it's absent, khalas, there's no Islam. As we will see, yani a little bit more clearly, as we go along. After this, we said, mention the first and last thing that will be lost from the deen of Islam. What is the first thing that will be lost? Abdul Rashid. Naam. That's a future question, but anyway, we'll take it now. Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead. Go ahead.
He said that the first thing that will be lost from the deen is the amanah.
The first thing that will be lost from the deen. Yani as the deen begins to disappear from the earth, the first thing that will be lost is al-amanah. Naam. Trust. People. Nobody will be trustworthy anymore. Naam.
And the last thing will be the salat.
And the last thing will be the salat. Yani when the salat is gone, khalas, there's nothing left of Islam. لا خلاق means here they will have no portion of the deen. Yani as is narrated in the other hadith, لا دين لهم لا إيمان لهم. They will not have any deen, they will not have any iman. They will be praying. People would be praying in the end, but those people in the end, their prayer will be of no benefit. These people will have nothing left from Islam. Naam. Actually, the question, the original question was what? What is the first thing that will be lost? That is al-amana. And we know that has already been gone. I mean, there's almost no trustworthy person left, even amongst the Muslims. And the last thing is the salat. Naam. And the next question is, mentioned three major sins, which are considered less severe than the sin of abandonment of salat. Yani major sins that are less severe than abandonment of salat. Naam, Adam. Zina.
Stealing.
And drinking alcohol. What else can we add to it? Ahmed. Killing people. Naam. And so many others. Akhth al-amwal. Taking people's property. These are major sins that are very serious. Killing someone. Committing illegal sexual relations. Taking people's property. Naam. But all of these things are less than abandonment of salat. Tark al-salat. And we said, why is that so? Because abandonment of salat is kufr. If a person abandons salat intentionally, willingly, knowingly, khalas, they go out of Islam. They're out of the circle of Islam. Out of the circle of Islam. They are not considered to be a Muslim. Number four, mention and memorize two evidences from the Quran pointing to the severity of the sin of abandoning salat. Give me one ayah from the Quran. Naam, I'll come on this side, Ahmed.
Go to the ayah, Surah Mudathir ayah.
Surah?
Surah Mudathir ayah 38.
Mudathir is what, 74?
74? Ayah 38.
Okay.
47, 46.
Go ahead. This one ayat, mashallah, not one ayat, one proof, a lot of ayats, right? The meaning of this is what? In brief, yani? Every soul will be in pledge, yani, will be rahina, yani, will be held until it is accountable for what you have done in this world. Every soul, except Ashab al-Yameen, the people who will be in Jannah. And they will be in Jannah. Yani, yatasa'alun, asking عن المجرمين, about the mujrimeen, the criminals, naam, the wrongdoers. What made you enter the fire? What was the cause of you being in the fire? And the first thing that they said, لم نكو من المصلين. The first thing that they said, the cause of being in the fire is what? It wasn't from the people who performed prayer. It's impossible for a person who doesn't make salah to enter Jannah. Person who doesn't make salah is a kafir. As we know from previous evidences that we mentioned before. Person who abandons salah or who doesn't pray is a kafir. That will never enter the Jannah. Kafir will never enter the Jannah. Only a believing soul will enter the Jannah, as the Prophet ﷺ said in more than one hadith. Another evidence, a proof of Naam. Okay, we'll take one from Adam and one from the back. Naam. Surah Maryam. Chapter 19, verse 11. Naam. And the meaning?
So after them, or came after them?
Yeah, some people came after them. Some of their offspring came after them.
People that they wasted the salah and they follow the desires, so they will enter Ghayya, which Ibn Abbas said that was he said that it's a Nile or a river of nastiness or from fire.
Hellfire. They will be in the hellfire. Why? Because these people who came after them, and all of us should be concerned about this. First and foremost, that we are not from them, and secondly, that those who come after us, our offspring, that our children don't be like them. That we have to be responsible for our children and our families to make sure that the people who come after us, that when we are gone, they won't abandon the salah. Because this is what those people who came after the righteous people, they were those who abandoned salah, and they followed their desires, so they would be thrown into the fire, the punishment of hellfire. And one more evidence, now. One more, huh? Huh? About salat.
Tawbah.
Naam. What is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody else tell me. What is the meaning of this ayat he just recited? Naam.
And if they
repented, this is the condition. If they repented, establish the salat. With this condition, if they did so, then they are your brothers in deen. Otherwise, they are not your brothers in deen. So this salah is a condition, a first condition, a fundamental condition for a person to be considered a Muslim, to be your brother in deen. Now, and we'll stop because a lot of evidences, I mean, the Shaykh mentioned, I don't know, a few more evidences, but for the sake of time, inshallah. And there are many evidences, so many. After this, we said, mention or memorize two evidences from the Sunnah pointing to the severity of the sin of abandoning salah. If somebody could give me a hadith that we didn't mention before, that we didn't mention the week before, that we mentioned from last week, not from the week before. Now, Ahmed.
An
Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, ayywa. The meaning?
Whoever abandons or leaves off one salah,
Naam.
That is wajib upon him.
One obligatory prayer, salatan maqtubatan. One obligatory prayer, one. Not all day, all night, the whole year, one. The Prophet said.
Willingly,
muta'ammidan, yani intentionally. Not by accident, not do forget, intentionally, muta'ammidan. Abandons the obligatory prayer, one prayer. Yeah, the security of Allah, he will be free. Yani on his own, person will be on. They will not have the protection and security of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is for the believer. They will lose that by abandoning one obligatory prayer. And another hadith that we didn't mention from 2 weeks ago. That we mentioned last week. Okay, give me any of the hadith. Now.
عن جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بين الرجل وبين الشرك والكفر ترك الصلاة.
نعم. Meaning?
Between a man, shirk, polytheism, kufr, disbelief, is leaving the salah.
Abandoning the salat. This is what separates a man from shirk and kufr. Meaning, when the person abandons salat, there's nothing to separate them from shirk and kufr. And other hadith? Naam, Abdullah. Naam. The second part of the hadith, he said, what? This is the proof that we're looking for? Whoever doesn't guard and protect and stick to the prayer, Naam. If a person doesn't guard the prayer carefully, yani be on top of it, the performance of the salat, then there will not be for him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, there will not be for him a light, nor a proof, nor a means of salvation, najat. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be raised above who? The leaders of kufr. The leaders of kufr. Qarun, and Fir'aun, and Haman, and Ubay ibn Khalaf. Naam. Now, and from the meanings of it is that some of the things, those people who are mentioned, each one of them, there was some discussion about what they were occupied with. That person was occupied with his wealth, person was occupied with his kingdom, with his leadership, and so on. His business and trade. These are the things that occupy people, generally speaking. But there are other things that occupy people, and whoever is occupied with those things, they will be raised up with those people. And what remains, quickly, question number 6. Who was it that said, whoever abandons salat has no part of Islam, and mentioned others who agreed with him? Naam, Ahmed. Salih.
Abu Huraira.
Hold it here. Who's that back there? Who's that? I heard somebody speaking just now. That was you? Okay, give him, he's older than you. Huh? Go ahead.
Abu Huraira.
Abu Huraira, huh?
And Abu Mas'ud.
Okay, Abdul ibn Mas'ud. Who else? Somebody help him. Who else? Mu'adh ibn Jabal? Abdurrahman ibn Auf? And the one who he mentioned the statement from is Umar ibn al-Khattab. What did he say? La hadha fil Islam liman taraka as-salat. La hadha fil Islam liman taraka as-salat. Or la islama liman taraka as-salat. Yani both of them are narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. That the person who abandons salat has no portion of Islam. Has no Islam. Who said this? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And who said it also in agreement with him? The likes of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Abu Huraira, and others like this. And many, and her? And Abdul ibn Mas'ud, and others besides them. The Shaykh, he just mentioned them. Now, remember who said this? The great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not what we said. List 3 categories of people mentioned by the author concerning negligence of salat. Quickly, one. The first of them, the worst of them. Yani the person who is never, ever, ever seen in the masjid for salat. Even though they live near the masjid. And they hear the adhan 5 times a day. And they go out of their house to go to work. But they don't go out of the house to go to the masjid to perform the prayer in jama'ah. That's the first one of them, who's never seen in the masjid. He doesn't know what the inside of the masjid looks like, nor does the inside of the masjid know what he looks like. And the second of them, or second of them, naam.
The one who is negligent in the mechanics of the salah,
the one who is negligent in the performance of the salah, naam. And it's what? It's conditions, shurut, it's essential, yani pillars, the arkan, and the wajibat of salah. To other than that. But these, of course, are the most important. And he's negligent in those things. And the third of them, naam, Adam? Huh? The one who's negligent and who takes easy, and who thinks lightly of the salat in jama'ah, yani tahawun fi, meaning that he prays in jama'ah sometimes and sometimes he doesn't. Yani he's seen in the masjid, but he's not regular. It's not that important to him. And these are the people that definitely we should be warned against resembling in any way whatsoever. And finally, mention the final warning in this chapter from the khutbah of Utbah ibn Ghazwan radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Imam Muslim. Reported by Al-Imam Muslim. The end of what he said, the warning that he gave in this khutbah, naam.
To not be arrogant and to not, he said he sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
He sought refuge in Allah?
Yeah.
Seeing himself as being someone great?
With Allah, he's severe.
While he is not great in front of Allah. Naam. Anybody memorize his statement? Huh? Who's that back there?
Right.
Naam, Musa. Saghirun, naam. So I seek refuge in Allah. And akuna fi nafsi. In my own self, I see myself as being azim. Wa inda Allahi, but in front of Allah, saghir. Nothing, insignificant. This is really something important, especially for the people who are trying to worship Allah and trying to learn the deen and are serious about it. Sometimes you might begin to imagine. You might look at your condition in comparison to other people. You might look at your deeds in comparison to other people. You might look at your knowledge in comparison to other people and begin to see yourself as being someone great. While in reality, in front of Allah, you're nothing. A person has to be careful from this. And who is this saying this? One of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the first first seven people who entered Islam, who saw the time when the Muslims were in difficulty and hardship and they didn't have anything. Even they didn't have food to eat except the leaves from trees. They didn't have clothes to wear except if they found a cloth, they would tear it in half and share it amongst two of them. And then every one of them, including him, they saw the time when Islam spread and was established in the earth, they became the leaders, the heads of cities, of big cities, appointed by the Prophet ﷺ to be leaders, those who followed him, to be leaders. And yet he said, I seek refuge in Allah, that I see my own self as being someone great, while in reality with Allah, it's not like that. If these people, if they were afraid of such, what is our condition? No one of us, no matter what level you reached in deeds, in action, in position, in influence, in knowledge, don't ever imagine yourself as being great. But actually, see yourself as being insignificant in front of Allah. Allah raises up whoever He wills. But don't imagine in your own mind that you are more than what you are. This is what we talked about last week. And today the topic, as I said, we want to talk about is Mawqifani Azimani. The fourth chapter, Mawqifani Azimani. Two places of standing. Two places of standing. Or two situations that are great, significant, important, tremendous. Two important, tremendous situations of standing. Yani mawqifan. A mawqif is the place where a person stops or stands, from waqafa, to stop or to stand. A mawqif could be a situation or a circumstance or an opinion or a view that somebody has. Here we mean an actual place of standing, two standings. One of them is in this world and the other one is in the next life. Mawqifani azimani. And by the way, since this book, the title of the book is Ta'zim as-Salat, it is incumbent upon us to understand the magnitude of this word, azim. If you look it up in the dictionary, you will find so many meanings for this word. From amongst the dictionary definitions of the word, azim is great, big, large, powerful, mighty, strong, significant, important, grand, imposing, stately, magnificent, lofty, exalted, sublime, splendid, glorious, superb, huge, vast, enormous, tremendous, immense, stupendous. These are some of the meanings of the word azim. And what we are talking about here is recognizing the greatness, the magnitude, the magnificence of this salah. That is due to the one who is He. He is the one who is Al-Azim. He is Al-Azim. So what is this salah that we are offering to Him? And what are these two standings, these two great, magnificent, significant, tremendous places of standing? The Shaykh, Allah yahfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him, and his father, Shaykh Abdul Razak ibn Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. He says, Mawqifani azimani, two tremendous, mighty, magnificent, sublime places or situations of standing. Yaqifuhuma al-Abdu bayna yaday Rabbihi. Yani two occasions that the abd, the slave, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stand in front of his Rabb. Two situations. One of them is in this hayat al-dunya, in this world. وَالْآخَرُ يَوْمَ يَلْقَى اللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And the other one is when the person will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of standing. يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of standing. And based upon the correctness of al-mawqif al-awwal, based upon a person, yani, being in a good situation, in a good condition, in the first place of standing, based upon that will be the salvation or the success of the slave servant worshipper of Allah and his happiness or good fortune in al-mawqif al-thani. Yani, a person's success and salvation and good fortune in the second place of standing, the second one, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, it will be dependent upon and based upon the condition of their standing in the first situation, the standing before Allah, every day, five times a day when you stand before your Rabb. How you do in that standing will determine what will be your condition in the next standing. Is there anything more important than this after the Shahadatain? Yani that a Muslim is conscious of the importance of this standing that we are being given as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day to stand in communion with your Rabb. But depending on how seriously you take it and how well you perform it, that would determine what will be your standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah. This is how serious it is. And some people take it so lightly. If they came to the masjid, they just want to pray and get it over with and get out of there. Or if they pray alone and nobody's watching, they might barely even pray. They might go through the motions to get it over with. Will that benefit you much on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Will that really ease your standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah if you perform the prayer with that kind of posture, with that kind of attitude? Allahu musta'an. And based, yani, upon the defectiveness of the condition of the worshipper in this first standing, based upon that, this will determine, yani, how his affair will be wasted or lost, and he will be in a condition of loss in the second standing. Meaning the person who wastes away this opportunity in standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, this will be the cause of his affair, his matter, his situation being lost in the second standing. The Shaykh says, Al-Mawqif Al-Awwal, the first standing. هو هذه الصلاة التي كتبها الله جل وعلا على عباده وافترضها عليهم خمس مرات في اليوم والليلة. Yani the first standing is this salah which Allah has prescribed for His worshippers, and He has made it obligatory upon them five times a day, five times in the day and the night. The first standing is this salat, which Allah has prescribed for us. He has ordained for us. And He has made it obligatory upon us. Five times in the day and the night. فَمَنْ حَافَظَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَاحْتَمَّ لَهَا وَاَعْتَنَى بِهَا وَأَدَّاهَا فِي أَوْقَاتِهَا وَحَافَظَ عَلَى شُرُوطِهَا وَأَرْكَانِهَا وَوَاجِبَاتِهَا حَانَ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. Yani, whoever guards, protects and preserves this salat, وَاحْتَمَّ لَهَا, yani gives it importance, considers it to be important, وَاَعْتَنَى wa'atana biha, and gives care to it, gives care, shows care and concern about it, and performs it in its proper times, not at your convenience, when you get ready to, when you feel like it, but in its proper times, whoever does so, and as well guards and protects and preserves the shurut of the salat, yani its preconditions, and the arkan of the salat, its essential pillars, and the wajibat of the salat, yani its obligatory acts. For that person, hana alayhi al-mawqif, yawm al-qiyamah. Then that person will find the standing on yawm al-qiyamah to be easy. Yani it will be easy, it will be lightened for him. And likewise, this person will find salvation and success on yawm al-qiyamah. Yani the person who guards and protects and preserves the prayer, considers it important, gives care in the performance of it, performing it in its time, and guarding and protecting and preserving its shurut and its arkan and its wajibat. And the Shaykh, he didn't mention his sunan, even though they are also important. But the shurut of the salat means the preconditions for the salat. If they are not fulfilled, you don't have any salat. The preconditions. Like what do we mean by preconditions? We mean that the person has to be in a state of tahara. Yani they have to have made wudu or ghusl, depending on if they have major or minor impurity. They have to remove, yani izalat al-najas, najasa. They have to remove any impurities from their body or their clothing or the place of prayer. Likewise, they have to cover themselves, sitr al-awra. They have to cover, a person has to be covered. This is a precondition for salat, that they have to cover their awra. In addition to that, what? They have to make sure that the time for the salat is entered, and that they are facing the Qibla, and that they have niyyah, proper niyyah. These are preconditions. If a person is missing any of those, the salat is invalid from the beginning. These are preconditions for the validity of the salat. So the Shaykh said a person has to guard the shurut of the salat. You have to make sure that you're in a state of tahara, that you're free from anything unpure, that the time for the salat is in, and so on. With the conditions that we know, and those yani other factors that may be considered in terms of what we study in the details of fiqh, of salat. These are preconditions of salat. Person has to guard the arkan of the salat, the essential pillars of salat. Like what? Like takbiratul ihram. Like standing if a person is able. Like what? Reciting al-fatiha. Bowing, prostrating, and so on. Things like this that are essential pillars. If a person missed any of them, they have to make it up. And that rak'ah in which they missed it is invalid. And if they finish the salat without doing so, the prayer becomes invalid. These are essential pillars, arkan of salat. And they also wajibat, that if a person missed it, not intentionally, but mistakenly or forgetfully, they can make two prostrations, right? And make up for that. These things are critical, that a person guard, protect, and preserve them. And these are things that are studied in fiqh of salat. And this is not our topic, right? Our topic is not the fiqh of salat. But it's important to understand that these matters have to be given attention. Because the rukn of salat, if a person leaves it out completely, the salat is invalid. And the shurut, the preconditions of the salat, if they are not fulfilled, the salat is invalid. And even the wajibat of salat, they can be fixed by making sajda sahwa. But it has to be done though. Whoever protects and guards and gives care and attention and shows concern for these matters, they will find ease at the time of standing, on the day of standing, and they will find salvation and success. As far as the one, أَمَّا إِذَا اسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ فَلَمْ يُعْنَى بِهَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ وَلَمْ يَحْتَمَّ لَهَا وَلَمْ يُوَاظِبْ عَلَيْهَا وَلَمْ يُحَافِظْ عَلَى أَرْكَانِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا وَوَاجِبَاتِهَا عَصُرَ عَلَيْهِ مَوْقِفِ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. As far as the one who takes lightly, who thinks little of this important standing in salat in this dunya every day, and who doesn't, yani, doesn't give care to the salat, and who doesn't think it as important, and who is not constant and continuous in performing the salat properly and in its time, and who doesn't guard its, yani, arkan, essential pillars, and shurut, preconditions, and wajibat, obligatory duties, that person will find difficulty understanding of the day of standing, yani the mawqif on yawm al-qiyamah. It has been narrated by At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah, and An-Nasa'i rahimahullah and others besides them, the hadith of Huraith ibn Qabisa rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, he said, I came to Al-Madinah and I asked Allah, you in need of something? Who should we ask first? And last, and all in between? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah jalla wa ala to provide me with a jalis salih, a righteous companion to sit with. So I sat. It happened by Allah's decree that I sat beside Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I said to him, Ya Abu Hurairah, إني سألت الله أن يرزقني جليسا صالحا فعلمني حديثا سمعته من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لعل الله أن ينفعني به. He said, I said to him, O Abu Hurairah, I have asked Allah to provide me, to bless me with a righteous companion to sit with. So teach me a hadith that you have heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, perhaps I will be benefited by it. How will he be benefited by it? Just by learning it? By memorizing it? Huh?
Acting on it.
By acting on it. That's the key. If a person learns it, understands it, memorizes it, they have a chance to act upon it. But the person who doesn't know can't do it. If you don't know, you can't act. You cannot worship Allah without knowledge. That's impossible. That's why it's incumbent upon you to seek knowledge. This has to be a primary matter of importance, learning your deen, because you can't worship Allah correctly without knowledge. But after you get the knowledge, it doesn't stop there. Then you have to act upon it. Sometimes we get lost on the road of seeking knowledge. We seek, we collect, we gather, but we don't act upon it. He said, teach me a hadith that you heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will benefit me by it. So Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said to him, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن أول ما يحاسب به العبد يوم القيامة من عمله صلاته. Yani indeed the first thing that the abd, the slave, servant, the worshipper of Allah will be called to account for on the day of standing from his deeds will be his salat. The first thing that he will be called to account for will be his salat. فَإِن صَلَحَتْ فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. So if it, his salat is correct, is right, is whole, is good, then he will have attained salvation and success. أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَحَ. Naam. Like we hear the muezzin every day, five times a day, حَيَّ لَالصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ لَالْفَلَاحِ الْفَلَاحِ. The person who answers this call to the salah and gives it its due and performs it well with khushu' and niyyah salihah for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then this person indeed will attain al-falah. They will be successful. They will attain salvation. They will have a happy end. وَإِنْ فَسَدَتْ فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. But if the salah is done poorly, is corrupted, is defective, then this person will be destroyed and they will be a loser. Naam, in this hadith the Shaykh says, وَهُوَ حَدِيثٌ صَحِيٌّ. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentioned in the Jami al-Sahih. Jami? Al-Sahih al-Jami. Naam. So the Shaykh, he says now, so reflect, may Allah, God, protect and preserve you. Reflect upon this matter, that the correctness, the salvation and success in the mawqif al-thani is based upon and dependent upon the correctness in the mawqif al-awwal. Yani the person's good condition in the standing before Allah yawm al-qiyamah, in the second standing, is dependent upon their correctness and good performance and excellent performance of the salat and other things, but especially first and foremost the salat in the mawqif al-awwal, the first standing. And a person's loss in the second standing will be due to their loss in the first standing, because they didn't give care and attention and seriousness to the standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya. Naam, whoever has lost this salat, yani whoever has wasted it and taken it lightly and fallen short in its performance and guarding and protecting and preserving it, حكم على نفسه شاء أم أبى بالخسران المبين في الموقف الثاني يوم يلقى الله جل وعلا وفي ذلك الموقف يندم ولا ينفع الندم. سبحان الله. نعم, the person who wastes the salat and takes it lightly and falls short in its performance and guarding and protecting and preserving it, they have judged their own self. حكم على نفسه. Nobody did injustice to you. Rather, you have judged your own self. Whether you like it or not. Sha'am aba. Whether you like it or not. You have judged your own self. With khusran, al-khusran al-mubin. Clear loss. In the second standing, on the day when you meet Allah Jalla wa Ala. And in that standing, the second one, yani, yandamu. Yani, a person will regret. They will feel regret and remorse. وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُ النَّدَمُ. But at that point, his regret will not benefit him at all. Yani, indeed, a person will regret, but it will be of no benefit. It's too late now to regret. Now is the time to look at your situation. Every day Allah gives us a gift, a tremendous blessing, a ni'mah, to stand in front of Him and to perform, to act. Not like acting in the movies, but actions for the sake of Allah. Not pretending, as some people do, they pretend to pray, make salat. They just go through the motions. We don't mean that. We mean Allah give you a chance to act upon that which you have learned, upon the sunnah, and to do it sincerely for the sake of Allah. Every single day you have a chance. That day there won't be any chance. There won't be any coming back. As Allah mentions in Surah Sajda, na'am. That if you could only see the Mujri moon on that day when they stand in front of Allah, with their heads hanging, and they will say, we see now and we hear, send us back, give us a chance to go back, and we will do righteous deeds. Now the matter has become certain. It's too late then. A different ayah. Naam. Because Allah knows. I mean, there won't be any coming back, because Allah has already decided the matter. But even if they went back, they will act the same. Al-Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, in his Musnad, he narrates from Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he mentioned the Salat one day and he said, whoever guards and protects and preserves it, كانت له نورا وبرهانا ونجاة يوم القيامة, then it will be, that Salat that he guard and protect and preserve, it will be for him a light and a proof on his behalf and a means of salvation on the day of standing, and whoever doesn't guard it will not find a light, nor a proof, nor a salvation, and he will be raised up on Yawm Qiyamah with the leaders of Kufr, Qarun, and Fir'aun, and Haman, and Ubay ibn Khalaf, all of them leaders of Kufr. So whoever has wasted the Salat, he has judged his own self, whether he likes it or not, to be raised up on Yawm Qiyamah, side by side with the leaders of Kufr, and the pillars of falsehood. This is what you have, yani, this is the place you have made. This is the bed you have laid for yourself. لما رضي لنفسه في هذه الحياة. Yani, when the person became, yani, since this person has become pleased for himself in this world, that he be occupied from the salat by, yani, desires and falsehood and pride and, yani, misguidance and corruption and filth and immorality and following the imams of vice and depravity and filth and corruption and the callers to corruption. When a person became pleased with their self like this, then they will be raised up on Yawm Qiyamah with those who are like them. Yani, those who are like them. As Ibn Kathir, yani, he mentions in the ayah in Surah Al-Safat, 37th surah, 22nd ayat, أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا يَعْبُدُونَ. Yani, Allah, yani, will command the angels to gather them, those who did wrong, the ظالمون, الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, yani, who did wrong, mainly, they committed shirk and kufr, and the disobedience to Allah. وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ يعني Ibn Kathir says that the meaning of this, and from the scholars of Tafsir, from the likes of Ibn Abbas and Sa'id, Ibn Jubayr and Ikrimah and Mujahid and others, that it means those who would be like them. أَشْبَاهُهُمْ وَأَمْثَالُهُمْ يعني those who are like them, who are similar to them. يعني those who committed zina will be raised up with the people of zina. And those who engaged in riba will be raised up with the people who engaged in riba. And those who drank alcohol will be raised up with the people who drank alcohol. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, gather them together for judgment, those who did wrong, they and those who are like them, and that which they used to worship. Yani instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and guide them to the way that leads to the hellfire, and what follows from the ayah. The Shaykh says, so everyone on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be raised up with those who are like him in this world, those who are like him in the dunya, hayat al-dunya. So if he was from the people who used to perform salat, and who used to guard the salat in the houses of Allah and the masajid, then he will be honored on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that he will be gathered with the people who used to make the salat. And he will be gathered with the people who used to be obedient to Allah. And he will be gathered with the Nabiyeen and Siddiqeen and Shuhada and Salihin. And he will be gathered with the prophets and the righteous and the martyrs. I mean the prophets and the Siddiqeen, the truthful. And who were truthful in their speech and in their action. And the martyrs and the righteous, and what a wonderful company to be raised up with. So whoever refused for himself that, and whoever refused to be with the people of goodness and righteousness and purity, and who became distracted from the salat by corruption and misguidance and amusement and falsehood, then he will be raised up on Yawm al-Qiyamah with those who are like him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and this is a bushra for some people, take it as a bushra, a good news. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, reported by Al-Bukhari, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ أَبَى قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَنْ يَأْبَى قَالَ مَنْ أَطَاعَنِي دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَنْ أَصَانِي فَقَدْ أَبَى. That everyone from my ummah, يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ will enter the Jannah. Isn't this a good news? Everyone from the ummah of Muhammad ﷺ is entitled to enter the Jannah, except the one who refuses. Except the one who refuses. They said, Ya Rasulullah, I will refuse. Who refused to enter the Jannah? The Prophet ﷺ said, Man ata'ani dakhala al-jannah, wa man asani faqad aba. Whoever obeys me, he has entered the Jannah. And whoever disobeys me, he has refused Jannah. Yani whoever doesn't think the salah is important, they refuse to abide by what Allah has obligated us with, then they have refused to enter Jannah. The matter is simple as that. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَعْلَمُ مَا لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ فَلْيَنْظُرُ مَا لِلَّهِ عِنْدَهُ. مَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَعْلَمُ مَا لَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Whoever wants to know what will be for him with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, فَلْيَنْظُرُ مَا لِلَّهِ عِنْدَهُ. Just look at what is with you for Allah. Yani you want to know what Allah is going to have for Yawm al-Qiyamah? What are you giving to Allah right now? Five times a day in salah. It's easy to know what's going to be your condition. Just look at what you are doing. Sincerely for the sake of Allah, this will be the determining factor. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will multiply good deeds that are done for His sake alone. The Shaykh says, reflect, may Allah guard and protect and preserve you. This standing on Yawm al-Qiyamah, reflect on this, that standing. For indeed you will be standing there. Naam, wallahi, you will be standing there. Mawqifun asibun, yani a very difficult standing. A terrifying standing. A standing, do you know how long it will be? What will be its measure? The Shaykh says, indeed, its measure, مِقْدَارِنَّ مِقْدَارَهُ خَمْسُونَ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. Yani, the length of time of that standing will be the equivalent of 50,000 years. That the people will be standing One day, its length will be the length of 50,000 years. So what can we compare to this? Today, from your days in this life. Yani, for the sake of argument, let's say that you lived for 60 years, or 70, or 80, or less than that, or more than that. What can you compare to those years, or these, yani, years that are insignificant, small amount of time? What can we, how can this compare to this mawqif al-asib, this difficult day of standing for one day that will be equal to the length of 50,000 years? What can we compare to this, to these little years that we have in this world, in comparison to that day whose length or whose time period is equal to 50,000 years? The Shaykh says then, let's say for example that you lived for 60 years, and you have spent one third of those 60 years sleeping, because you are sleeping every day and night approximately 8 hours, some people more or less, approximately. So the sleeping person is excused, yani the pen is lifted from the person who is sleeping. So whoever has lived for 60 years, then they have slept for 20 years of their life. That's off the record. They're not getting any benefit in that time. That's 20 years gone. Say another 15 years, approximately, from the beginning of the life of the person, when they were not responsible, meaning they were not held accountable. They didn't reach the age of responsibility yet. That leaves how much? 25 years. What do you have to work with? To prepare for a day, one day, whose length will be equal to 50,000 years. And the little 25 years that we have left, that's for the person who lived 60 years. Everybody ain't gonna live 60 years. Some of us, we already lived 60 years, so we know it's over. Nah, it's over then. Because the Prophet ﷺ said the age of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. And most of it we wasted. And people are still wasting, thinking they have a lot of time, but not everybody is guaranteed 60 or 70 years. But the little bit of time you have left, how much of it did you really devote to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There may be a little time left for us. Take advantage of it. Wallahi, we don't know. Do we have another year or another month or another day? Naam. So fear Allah. May Allah protect and preserve you in this salat. God, this standing in front of Allah jalla wa ala, yani, attach importance to it, to this salat. And Allah will give, yani, greatness. He will magnify your affair in front of Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. He will raise up your status or your station in front of Him on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And be warned against wasting this salat. For indeed, the one who wastes it is in clear loss. It has been confirmed in the Mustadrak of Al-Hakim rahimahullah, and the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كَقَدْرِ مَا بَيْنَ الظُّهْرِ وَالْعَصْرِ. And this is also a bushra, a good news for the believers if they take care to perform the salat well. يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, the day of standing, عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, upon the believers, كَقَدْرِ مَا بَيْنَ الظُّهْرِ وَالْعَصْرِ, will be like the amount of time between Dhuhr and Asr for the believers, عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani that 50,000 years of hardship on the people, Allah will lighten it for the believers. The Shaykh says, in yani specifying how the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the 50,000 years, will be for the believers, and specifying it as it will be like the time between two prayers, is the tanbih, yani a notification or a notice, لِمَكَانَةِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأَثَرِهَا فِي التَّحَقَّقِ ذَلِكَ. Yani this is, the Prophet ﷺ here is bringing to our attention, is notifying us, yani, of the status of salat, and the effect of the salat in realizing or achieving that. Achieving what? Achieving the takhfif, yani the lightening of that burden on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that's going to be like the distance of 50,000 years for the believer, If they have given attention to the Salat, it will be like the time between Dhuhr and Asr. And even if we're talking about Dhuhr and Asr in the summertime, that's only a few hours, right? In the wintertime, it's like 2 hours. Huh? Subhanallah. Maybe it will be like the between Dhuhr and Asr in the wintertime. Inshallah. Huh? This is a notification of the status of Salat by the Prophet ﷺ using the measurement of that time by measuring by the Salat, showing the importance of the Salat and the care that one has to take for it in order to realize and to achieve this great blessing and favor and mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah. أَلَا فَنَتَّقِ اللَّهِ فِي صَلَاتِنَا. Shall we not observe taqwa of Allah in our Salat? Shall we not observe taqwa of Allah in this great obligatory duty التي كثرة استحانة الناس بها واختفافهم بأمرها وتهاونهم في شأنها وإضاعتهم لها ولشروطها وأركانها وواجباتها. Yani, so let us observe taqwa of Allah in this tremendous, great, magnificent, obligatory duty which so many of the people have given it, yani, little significance, have considered it to be insignificant. They have taken it lightly, the affair of the Salat, and they have been lax in the affair of the performance, the obligation of Salat, and they have wasted and lost it and its preconditions and its essential pillars and its obligatory duties. They didn't give any care. They have taken it lightly. They have given little attention and little significance to it. And for that, these people will be in a sorry condition. Yani, their affair will be something painful, and their reality will be a painful reality. The people who didn't give care to the Salat. Wasting the Salat deprives a person from every khair in the dunya and in the akhirah. Wasting the Salat is that which deprives you, denies you every good in this world and the next. And it is a clear loss. So be warned that you do not deny for yourself, or that you deny this matter, yani, such that you only accept that you will live in disgrace. Yani, the people who what? They don't accept to be disgraced. How is it that they don't accept to be disgraced? They fail to fulfill the duties that Allah has placed upon them. Yani, they don't accept to be humiliated and to be in loss. For indeed, the one who, yani, neglects the Salat has ruled and judged this for their own self. Yani, that they be humiliated and disgraced, and they are pleased for their self to have a life of disgrace and humiliation. Indeed, how can a person, which good does a person hope for? Yani, which excellent virtue can a person expect if they have wasted the Salat, which is the connection between the Abd and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is the connection. And the Shaykh, he says, and we are, yani, coming to the end of what he said, and this is, yani, remembering that in the introduction to the book, remember the Shaykh said that most of this book is based upon, yani, khutub, yani, the speeches on Yawm al-Jumu'ah that he gave in many places. And he ended this topic by saying, one of them said, blaming one of the people who used to give the khutbah, yani, one of the people said to the khatib, blaming him, reproaching him, إِنَّكَ مُنْذُ سَنَوَاتْ عَدِيدَ تَخْطُبْ فِينَا فَمَاذَا قَدَّمْتَ. Yani, for so many years you have been speaking to us, addressing us with the khutbah. So what have you, yani, what have you, yani, قَدَّمْتَ, what have you offered to us? Yani, saying you haven't given us anything. And you given these khutbahs, we didn't get anything out of it. So the khatib said to him, وَأَنْتُمْ تِوَالَ هَذِهِ الْمُدَّةِ تَسْتَمِعُونَ فَمَاذَا فَعَلْتُمْ. Yani you blaming me, the one who gave the khutbah. He said, so you, all of these years that I've been giving the khutbah, you people have been listening. What have you done with it? ماذا فعلتم? Who is it to blame? If somebody has reminded you of something from the Quran or from the Sunnah, from the obligatory duties, or the Sunan, or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, and they maybe didn't deliver in an excellent manner, so what? What they delivered, what did you do with it? Did they mention any ayah from the Quran? What did you do with it? Did they mention any hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So what did you do with it? So who is to blame? Yani the person who knows is responsible to act upon what they know. If a Muslim hears an admonishment, a warning, an advice, or a khutbah, then it is incumbent upon them to protect and to preserve it, to deposit it in their heart, and then to turn to their Rabb, Jalla Sha'nuhu, and their Mawla, and ask Him to grant you success to act upon it. Yani deposit it in your heart and then supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He give you the tawfiq to act upon it. And that He give you, sadad, yani that He make you, successful and correct in acting upon it. And that He does not leave you to yourself even for the blinking of an eye. Otherwise, how many are those of the people who have heard the admonishments, the warnings, the reminders? And from amongst them are those who continue to be in ghafla. In all that they have heard, they are still unmindful. They didn't wake up yet. Knowing that indeed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there is a day of meeting where He will meet His servants, and there will be recompense, and there will be accounting. So take advantage. Yani the servant, slave, the worshipper of Allah must take advantage of their presence in this life to reform, to rectify, to correct themselves, to purify their condition, to make good their actions, knowing that the tawfiq is in the hands of Allah alone, without any partner. And the Shaykh, he closes with dua. Oh Allah, we ask You, bearing witness that You are Allah, and that there is nothing, that no one that deserves to be worshipped besides You. We ask You by Your beautiful names and Your lofty characteristics, for Your favor and for Your honor, and that You make us, all of us, to be of those who establish the salat, and also our offspring to be from those who establish the salat, Ya Rabbil Alameen. After this, I just want to mention quickly three hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we will close. Three hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that show us the importance of salat, especially the ruku and the sujood. Especially the ruku and the sujood. How much care do we give to it? And again, I ask and remind myself first. When you examine yourself, do you feel that after being reminded of these tremendous ayat from the Quran and hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from 1 week to the next, from last week to this week, from 2 weeks ago to this week, from 3 weeks ago to this week, do you find that you are doing better in the performance of your salah? That you are giving more care to it? That you feel a greater importance of it? Or are you in the same condition you were in before? That's what you have to ask yourself. Because wallahi, if you are doing better, you're doing better for yourself. And if you're not doing better, it is against your own self. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in all of these hadith as sahih, Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah mentions all of them in silsila al-hadith as-sahiha. In one of those hadith, it is reported on the authority of Abdul ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innal 'abda إذا قام يصلي أتي بذنوبه كلها فوضعت على رأسه وعاتقيه. In some of the narrations, عاتقه. فكل ما ركع أو سجد تساقطت عنه. إن العبد, that indeed, certainly, verily, the worshipper of Allah, إذا قام يصلي أتي بذنوبه كلها. That if he stands up to perform prayer, his sins, all of them were brought forward. فَوُضِيَتْ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ وَعَاتِقَيْهِ. And they will be placed on his head and on his shoulders. فَقُلَّمَا رَقَعَ وَسَجَدَ. So every time he bows in, يعني ركوع, and prostrates in sajda, تَسَاقَتَتْ عَنْهُ. What falls off of him? Sins. If this is not an encouragement for a person to give care to their salat, especially the ruku and sujood, that indeed the worshipper, whenever he stands up to pray, or she stands up to pray, the sins are brought forth. يعني أتي بذنوبه كلها. All of your sins will be brought forth. ووضع على رأسه وعاتقيه. Then the sins will be placed on his head and on his shoulders. So every time he bows, what will happen to those sins? They will fall off. And every time he prostrates, they will fall off. So a person, when they're in ruku, they should be thinking, subhanallah, if I'm making this ruku for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for sure my sins are falling off. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said so. How would that make your ruku? If you remember that in your salat. How would that make your sajda if you remember that in your salat? Yeah. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as-sadiq al-masduq, he doesn't tell anything except the truth. He is the one who is believed, for sure. Your sins will be falling off you. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions silsila al-hadith al-sahiha, number 1398. The second hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, as-salatu thalathatu athlathun. The salat is in three equal parts. Yani as-salatu thalathatu athlathun. It has three essential parts. At-tuhuru thuluthun. The purification is one third of it. Wa-ruku thuluthun. And the bowing in ruku is one third of it. Wa-sujudu thuluthun. And the prostration is a third of it. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بِحَقِّهَا قُبِلَتْ مِنْهُ وَقُبِلَ مِنْهُ سَارِ عَمَلِهِ. So whoever performs it with its rights, fulfilling its rights, the way it's supposed to be done, يعني most importantly, performing it properly and with sincere intention and khushu', that you're standing, you're bowing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and prostrating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having purified yourself for this great standing. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بِحَقِّهَا قُبِلَتْ مِنْهُ. Then his salat will be accepted from him. وَقُبِلَ مِنْهُ سَعْرُ عَمَلِهِ. And all of his other deeds will also then be accepted from him. Based on what? Based on the correct, proper performance of salat. Especially ruku' wa sujood. وَمَنْ رُدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُهُ رُدَّ عَلَيْهِ سَعْرُ عَمَلِهِ. And whoever's salat will be rejected because of poor performance, the rest of his deeds will also be rejected. Naam, the hadith? In English. Naam, the salat is in three parts. The purification is one third of it, and the ruku, bowing, is one third of it, and the sujood is one third of it. So whoever performs it with its rights, the way it's supposed to be done, then it will be accepted from him, his salat. And likewise, the rest of his deeds, as a result of correct performance of salat, the rest of his deeds will also be accepted. But whoever's salat is rejected, then the rest of their deeds will also be rejected. Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Silsila Hadith al-Sahihah, number 2537, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And the last hadith, and we close with this, Shaykh al-Albani mentioned in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahihah 2535, on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُصَلِّي سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. Yani indeed, a man, a person, a human being, man or woman, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُصَلِّ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً. That's a lifetime. He will perform the salat for 60 years. وَمَا تُقْبَلُ لَهُ صَلَاتٌ. And not one of those salat will be accepted from him. Naam, this is hadith sahih. Huh? Naam. وَلَعَلُّهُ يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوعَ وَلَا يُتِمُّ السُّجُودَ. Yani the reason for this is why? Because perhaps the person, he has perfected the ruku, but he didn't complete and perfect the prostration. Yani on 7 bones, including the forehead and the nose. Some people are prostrate on their forehead, and wallahi akhi, their nose is not touching the ground. The Prophet ﷺ said, I've been commanded to prostrate on 7 bones. Perhaps he has completed and perfected the ruku, but he didn't complete and perfect the sujood. وَيُتِمُّ السُّجُودُ وَلَا يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوعُ. Or he completes and perfects the prostration, but he doesn't complete and perfect the ruku'. Wallahi, how many people, we don't know about the sisters, but we know about brothers all the time. Wallahi, all the time. People are they are bowing with their back down here. That's more humility. That's not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your back has to be straight in ruku'. And your neck has to be straight, and your head has to be straight. And your hands should be spread, grasping your knees. Not together, spread, grasping your knees, with your back straight, and your neck straight, and your head straight. And the Prophet ﷺ said, such that if water were poured on your back, it would remain there. It wouldn't fall off. So perhaps this person, he has performed the ruku correctly, but he didn't yani complete and perfect the sujood, or perhaps he has completed and perfected the sujood, but he has not completed and perfected the bowing. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said, and we close with this, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفًا. Yani that every worshipper will have 2 places of standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. One standing will be in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salat. وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ يَوْمَ لِقَائِهِ. And one standing will be in front of him on the day when you will meet him. فَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقِّ الْمَوْقِفَ الْأَوَّلِ هُوِّنَ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفَ الْآخِرِ. That whoever stands or fulfills the right of the first standing, then the last standing, يعني يوم القيامة, will be made easy for him. وَمِنْ اسْتَهَانَ بِهَذَا الْمَوْقِفِ. But whoever takes lightly this standing and the salat in this dunya, وَلَمْ يُوَفِّهِ حَقَّهُ شُدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ الْمَوْقِفِ. Then the one who yani takes lightly this standing and the salat in this world and doesn't fulfill its rights, then that standing on Yawmul Qiyamah will be made difficult for him. May Allah increase us all in concern for our prayers and giving special attention to the ruku and the sujood and what we are reciting in them, knowing that we are standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a standing that will determine how our standing will be in the next life. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.